Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday, March 10th edition of the MMAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of MMA. A couple pieces of news to talk about for sure today, also a few fight announcements. But first, I want to mention in less than an hour from now, 50 minutes from now, myself and Cole Sheldon will be here breaking down UFC Brasilia. So definitely go and check that out in about 50 minutes from now. Stay on the channel. It's going to be a new video, as always. But definitely looking forward to talking about that card. That's a sneaky good card, guys. It's actually a really solid card this weekend, so I'm looking forward to doing that. But for now, I want to get to the news from basically yesterday and maybe some stuff that happened on the weekend, some fight announcements. So let's start right away with a video that's been kind of going viral in the MMA circles. Paulo Costa knocking out Logan Paul, the YouTuber, during a sparring session and at the UFCPI. And, you know, it's a funny video, honestly. Logan Paul is a character, that's for sure. I mean, he's a YouTuber. He's a celebrity. He's obviously made his way in the world of combat sports with his boxing matches on DAZN. He's been calling out CM Punk. He's called out Dylan Danis. So, you know, this is a guy that I think MMA fans are starting to know who he is a little bit. This video is pretty funny. You know, Costa and him were actually just kind of going at it, and then Costa lands a big right, overhand right, in Paul's. We think it's his chin, could have been his shoulder. I don't know. It's hard to say. The angle wasn't very clear, but, it looks like it connected somewhat. I think it's embellished a little bit. I don't know if he actually knocks him out, but there's definitely a chance that he could have. But either way, it's just a funny video. I would say this, though. Later in the video, he's doing wrestling training with Paulo Costa. He looks really good wrestling. This is a guy who came from a wrestling background. He's not a bum when it comes to grappling. He actually looked really good for the wrestling. The striking didn't look very good, but the wrestling looked good. You know, if I'm a betting man, and I am, I'd say Logan Paul is going to be in the UFC within the next, like, 2 or 3 years. I'm not saying he's going to win a fight. I'm not saying he does well at all in MMA, but I think Dana White will sign him. You know, that or he stays with DAZN and fights in Bellator or something like that, or in a celebrity boxing match or something like that, you know, super fight boxing match against a guy like Dylan Danis on DAZN. I do not think the last fight against KSI was the last time we saw Logan Paul in a combat sports fight. You know, as far as Costa goes, this is good exposure for him. You know, he gets another audience looking at him. The guy's definitely, it's crazy. It's almost like he's become more popular the last few days after the awful fight between Adesanya and Romero. Like, this guy, Costa, didn't fight, but more people are talking about him now than they have before, which is crazy. People just want to see someone really push Adesanya. They think Costa could be that guy. I think it could be that guy too. So this is good exposure for him. Logan Paul has got millions of subscribers on YouTube. Millions of people watch this video. And it was pretty funny, I thought. You know, Paul gets knocked down and he says to Waleed Ishmael, he's like, did I do good? How did I do? I thought it was really funny. So, you know, the guy's a character for sure. Funny video. Definitely go check that out if you haven't seen it. I thought it was pretty funny. Although I'm not convinced it was a legitimate knockout. You know, speaking about Israel Adesanya, he was on Ariel's show yesterday. He really criticized Yoel Romero, kind of went after him for just not bringing the fight and for blowing his opportunity. And honestly, he's 100% right. You know, Yoel Romero posted a video yesterday of him sprinting, just saying how much energy he still had left. And that's the thing that bothered me with the fight. It's like he had so much energy at the end of 25 minutes. So did Israel, but especially Romero. It's like, yeah, you know, you understand Romero, he wanted to conserve his energy. He doesn't have like the best gas tank in the world, but it's like, he had so much energy left. He could have fought another five-round fight, especially at that pace. So, to me, you know, the criticism is warranted. The guy's turning 43 next month. He's had 4 title shots in his last 5 fights. He will not be fighting for a title anytime soon. I think the UFC is just really pissed off at him right now, and you can't blame him. I mean, that fight was just terrible. And I do blame Romero a little bit more than Adesanya. I do blame Adesanya as well for the fight just being that bad. But at the end of the day, he did what he had to do to get the win, and you have to respect that. But for Romero, it's like, what were you doing? Like, seriously, like, you know, I was just bothered by it. And Big John McCarthy had his podcast yesterday. He made a great point. He just said, like, Romero didn't have the passion to win the title. And that's bang on. He did not have the passion to go out there and win the belt. And Adesanya's comments are correct. Valentina Shevchenko, she was on Ariel's show yesterday. She also talked to TMZ, basically bashing Willy Zhang, which, like, I didn't like these comments. And I didn't agree with anything she said, to be completely honest. She basically said that the fight, she enjoyed the fight with Valentina and Zhang. But she also thought that it proved that Zhang isn't ready for high-level competition, which is complete BS, if you ask me. I don't know what Valentina's talking about. I don't know what fight she was watching compared to other people. Now, Willie Zhang is an elite fighter. I mean, look at her run. She's 21 fight win streak, and she's 5-0 in the UFC. She just beat Joanna Jędrzejczyk. She smashed Jessica Andrade before that. She also beat Tisha Torres. Those are ranked fighters. Those are good elite fighters. I don't know what Valentina's talking about. It was just weird. I just think that she's like a little jealous. I think she's a little jealous that Willie's getting so much attention right now and Valentina's not getting any. Listen, Valentina is a great fighter. We all know that. We all know she's incredible. But honestly, she sounded so salty talking about Willie Zhang. And the comments just bothered me. I don't know why. Just like, you know, this fighter just had an incredible performance, like one of the best fights of all time. And you're out there saying she's not ready for elite level competition. Really? Really? I don't know about that, man. I don't agree with it at all. I'll be honest, like Zhang's, like, okay, obviously we know that Valentina's had a couple of really nice finishes, like the Jessica Eye finish and the Julia Pena finish. Those are nice. And she's had some great performances, but as far as that entertaining fight for from back to front for 25 minutes, Willie Zhang's fight against Yuan was by far more entertaining than any fight Valentina's ever had in her career. And I think she was a little jealous about the attention everyone was giving Willie Zhang and still is giving her, and deservingly so. So, you know, I know what she's saying, that, you know, she fought Joanna and she beat Joanna pretty easily. But again, that's up a weight class. This is a weight class below it. You know, I think that Willie is, you know, as far as elite level competition, she's elite as it gets at 115. Valentina is predicting she's going to lose her belt in her next fight. It's possible. I mean, if she fights Rose, that's an interesting fight. She fights Jessica again, that's an interesting fight. But you know, Willie's very good, and I wouldn't just go and make that statement like that. So to me, she sounded really salty, and you know, I respect Valentina. She's a great fighter, obviously a champion, you know, an amazing talent. But I really did not agree with her comments, and I thought she came off really poorly in the interviews. I was very disappointed with her comments. Corey Sandhagen, he says he's accepted a fight against Dominic Cruz for UFC San Diego. Actually, that wouldn't be the main event, it'd be the co-main event, so I guess, but obviously the main event's Poirier versus Hooker, which is incredible. But yeah, this is a good fight, be an interesting fight. I mean, Corey Sandhagen has got it back in the cage. I feel bad for this dude. He was supposed to fight Frankie Edgar back in January. The fight got pulled because for some reason the UFC wanted Frankie Edgar to fight Korean Zombie, which was so stupid. Terrible, stupid matchup that UFC made there. And Corey Sandhagen has just been in limbo ever since. Like, this guy was supposed to fight 2 months ago. He's still waiting for a fight. He might fight in 2 months against Cruz. We don't know. Cruz very well could pull out. I wouldn't want to accept the fight against Dominic Cruz because this guy is just an injury risk, and there's no telling that he could actually make it to the fight. So, you know, Sandhagen, in my opinion, I'd be targeting fighting against Aljamain Sterling, and I know that Sterling has been injured himself lately, but the guy's way more active than Cruz. I would rather fight Sterling than Cruz. I think fans would respect that win more, too, to be honest with you. Like, Dominic Cruz obviously is an amazing talent, and he is one of the greatest bantamweights of all time, but the guy barely fights, and he's old now, and he's injury prone. I just feel like fans and media would respect Sandhagen beating Sterling so much more than him beating Cruz. That's just my opinion. Maybe some people disagree on that one, but that's what I think about that. Bellator, they did like a press conference yesterday in New York, and they announced a bunch of new fights, some pretty good ones. The best one probably in June. They have a card coming up in June, and it's going to feature Benson Henderson versus Michael Chandler 2. And that's an interesting fight, but the co-main event is the best fight in the card, in AJ McKee against Darren Caldwell. That should have been the co-main event. Like, I just think they're a little bit overrating what fans think about Benson and Chandler at this point. I mean, that fight, I don't think it's going to be that great. I mean, we saw their first fight. It was a great fight. Don't get me wrong, but I just think, like, a few years later now, both guys have not looked amazing lately. I know Chandler's coming off a nice win by knockout, but Benson hasn't looked that great. I think it's just an average fight, to be honest, at this point. I would have rather put McKee and Caldwell as the main event. I think there's so much heat behind those two guys. It's just a great fight. So that's what I would have did. But either way, you know, it's good that McKee's going to be able to fight because he obviously had that LCL tear. He still has that. He's going to fight through it, crazy enough. He had surgery on it, but still, I mean, he is a little bit banged up. He's still going to go throughout the fight, and should be an interesting fight for sure. But, you know, the fact that it's a five-round fight, and Chandler Henderson is three rounds, it's just kind of weird that they didn't swap it around. The only other thing I can think of is, you know, do they introduce an interim lightweight belt? Because that would make more sense to me if it was an interim lightweight fight, but it's not. So it's a little strange. I don't know what to say. I mean, that would have made more sense. But it's just weird when you have a 3-round fight in the main event and a 5-round fight in the co-main event. Bellator has did that before. I don't get it. And honestly, if I'm Bellator, like, I'm talking to the commissions and just deciding I'm going to 5-round main events, you know, going forward, because this is something the UFC has been doing for like almost 10 years now. Like, why is Bellator not doing that? They should have 5-round main events. Anyways, a few other fights were announced over the weekend for Bellator. Liz Carmouche will be taking on Miranda Boehm. Carmouche obviously cut from the UFC after the loss to Shevchenko. You talk about, you know, awful fights. I mean, that fight was just, that was a terrible fight. But yeah, Miranda Boehm, I don't know much about her. Let's see here. Liz Carmouche, I can't even find her. I Googled her and nothing came up. Maybe they spelled it wrong. Let's see here. Liz Carmouche. Mandy Boehm. Okay, so she goes by Mandy Boehm, but for some reason on Wikipedia, they called her Miranda. Anyways, Mandy Boehm, 8-6-0. She's an SBG trained fighter, fighting since 2014, actually. Her first fight was a no contest, but yeah, I mean, she hasn't fought anyone good. Like, her opponents have been pretty awful. Who knows, though? I mean, it's not like Carmouche is amazing. Actually, this girl did fight last year, the TKO card where Ciryl Gane was on, so that's interesting, but yeah. I mean, Carmouche obviously has all that experience. And the other fight they announced was, it's almost kind of weird. They announced Patrigi Pitbull, the brother of Patricio, taking on Peter Quelli at Bellator Dublin 2, which is, you know, fine. It's a fine fight, but it's in October. Like, why are you announcing fights this far ahead? Like, that's, what, 7 months away? Really? Why are they announcing the fight so early? It's weird. I mean, I feel bad for these two guys. They can't fight in between and make some more money. That's a long time away. Don't know if I agree with them announcing a fight that far out, but, you know, it is what it is. Going to go with the fight announcements next. I'll get to the questions in a second. UFC fight announcements, just a couple. I actually really like this fight. UFC San Diego, Kai Kara France against Alex Perez in a flyweight bout. I love this fight. Great fight. Kai Kara France, man, this guy's fun to watch. He's looked good in the UFC. 4-1 in the UFC, coming off a nice win over Tyson Nam last month. Gets a quick turnaround. The UFC seems to love this guy. He fights a lot. He's a lot of fun to watch. I enjoy watching him fight. And he's going to be taking on Alex Perez, another guy I really enjoy watching fight. He's coming off, well, he's actually 5-1 in the UFC. So he's looked good. He's coming off back-to-back wins over De La Rosa and Jordan Espinoza. He looked great against Espinoza, getting the submission win there. So, you know, the one loss to Benavidez, it is what it is. And with France, the one loss to Moreno, another guy who's great. So awesome fight. Love this matchup. Really have no idea who I'm going to pick in this one. I don't even have an initial lean. I think it's a very, very close fight. Could go either way. It is in San Diego, so that's close to Perez's home. Maybe it gives him a slight lean there, but I got to think about it more. Fight's coming up in 2 months. I got a lot of time thinking about that one. And the other fight that they announced on the weekend was, oh, man, this fight's garbage. I mean, this is a terrible fight. Heavyweight bout between Tai Tuivasa and Georges Danhoe. You talk about, like, two of the weakest heavyweights on the roster. I mean, this has to be up there. The fight's in Perth, so I got to mention that. I mean, that gives Tuivasa an automatic advantage, but this guy has just been such a disappointment in the UFC. 3-3 record, so that's a solid record, but, I mean, he hasn't looked very good. His last knockout, 2018, and Cyril Asker. Like, that guy's not in the UFC anymore. His only good win is against RJ Orlovsky, and it was a very close fight. Since then, he's lost 3 straight to Sergey Spivak, Blagoy Ivanov, and Junior DeSantos. Has not looked good. It's like he gets worse every time he fights, so he's not been very good. But he is only 26, so he's got a lot of time to kind of improve. And then Georges Danhoe, Man Mountain, they call this guy. He is 5-1-1 in his career. And he hasn't fought since 2016 in the UFC. And he had 2 fights in the UFC, and he looked terrible in both his fights. He lost a decision to Daniel Malanchuk, and then he had a draw against Christian Colombo. Has not fought since 2016. So 4-year layoff taking on Tuivasa. This guy is not very good. No gas tank. You thought, talking about like bad cardio, you thought Tuivasa was bad cardio. This guy has even worse cardio. So you got to go with Tuivasa. He probably finishes Georges Danhoe, but if he doesn't finish him, wow, this could be a really ugly 3-round decision. All right, a couple questions here with Katsura Rodoju. Hey, buddy, what's up? Always appreciate the questions from you. Weili Zhang is too early to fight Valentina. Val has like 6-5 rounds experience. I don't think Rose can beat Weili easily at all. I don't think Rose is half as tough as JJ once she gets her face smashed. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, if Weili fights Valentina right now, you'd pick Valentina, obviously. I mean, everyone would, I think. Weili is a great fighter, but at 115, you know, she's not a 125-er. She's also, I think, going to be too small for that fight. Plus, like you said, the experience. The 1 5-round fight she had against Joanna, you got to give her all the credit. I mean, she made the full 5 rounds, but definitely her gas tank was questionable during the fight, and her energy management, I guess, is an issue as well. But I think she'll learn from that. I mean, she's a very good fighter, and she's definitely a smart fighter too. So I think she'll learn, but yeah. And we also say, I don't think Rose can be really easy at all. I agree completely. Rose is really good. Don't get me wrong. She's great. And if she fights Wheelie, that's going to be an interesting fight. I really have no idea who I'd pick in that fight. And it's a very good chance that does happen. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it'd be as easy to fight as Valentina says. He also, Kenshiro Rodoji also says, I agree. I don't know why Valentina has to be so negative talking about Wheelie. Making future predictions makes little sense. Wheelie already beat two of the best at strawweight. I completely agree with what you're saying. It was just weird. Like, honestly, really, really strange comments. Like, I like Valentina. You know, she does some really good interviews and very insightful, very smart fighter. Usually very respectful. It's just very, very strange. Again, I think it's a little bit of jealousy, man. You know, seeing Wheelie get all that attention and Valentina's like, hey, what about me? That's what I felt it was like. The other question here at Bellator, step your game out, keep your events on Friday night, stop competing and losing the UFC Saturday night cards. I want to watch both events. You know, I think most MMA fans would agree with you on that one too. Like, it's hard to watch two cards in one night, two MMA cards. You know, sometimes they'll do it during the day, during the afternoon in like Europe, and then do UFC at night. That's not that bad. But when it's like at the same time, it's just very hard for MMA fans to choose. I remember there's been times in the past, it doesn't happen as often anymore, man, but there's been times in the past where I have to flip through two channels or off tape one and watch it later and try to avoid spoilers. It's not easy for a fan. It is coming up pretty soon, though, on May 9th, I think it is, UFC 250, Cejudo Aldo, the same night, and Nunez versus Spencer, the same night. It's going to be Bellator in San Jose, Ryan Bader versus Nemkov, and Usasi versus Lima. Like, why should fans have to pick and choose what they want to watch that night? Like, I want to watch both those cards. Why couldn't they have just did it on Friday and then UFC on Saturday? We all know UFC is Saturdays booked up. Like, why couldn't Bellator book that for Friday, you know? So I'm with you on that one, man. I guess they have some sort of deal with Paramount and DAZN that they have to show them on Saturdays. I don't really know. But to me, it's like, I completely with you. And that it just kind of hurts the fans at the end of the day. And that's not what you want to do. You know, Bellator, I support Bellator. I support MMA organizations that pay their fighters well. And Bellator does. I mean, they pay their fighters well compared to most organizations. Having said that, I just wonder, you know, what's the future of Bellator? It seems like they spend a lot of money and don't bring that much in. And they've been around for 10 years, over 10, 11 years now Bellator's been around. Are they as popular as the UFC? No. Are they half as popular? I don't think so. I don't think they're in the same ballpark, you know? And I think they put on good events. They have obviously have a great roster. They have spent a lot of money to improve their product. And they brought in Scott Coker a few years ago, Rich Cha. I mean, that was a good improvement for them over Bjorn Remy for sure. But I feel like, you know, their thing when they started was the tournaments. And they've gone away from that for the most part. Although they have the Grand Prix. Those are stretched over a year long. But they had the three-month tournaments. That was their, like, their difference between them and the UFC. Now they don't have that anymore. So it's like, it's almost like second rate MMA in some ways. I know they have some elite fighters. Don't get me wrong. Bellator, I still watch it. I support them. They have some great fighters, but I just question what the future is, guys. I really do. I don't see them really sticking around forever. Like a few more years. And then it's like Viacom and Paramount might be like, you know what? We've spent a lot of money on this. We're not getting our return on investment. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that Bellator does really well. I'm still going to watch their cards when I can. I won't be watching when it's, you know, an awful card on a Friday night with two guys that shouldn't be in the main event. I won't be watching those. I'll tape them and watch them later. I'm not going to watch them. I'm not going to go my way to watch cards that are not worthy of my time. I don't have a lot of free time, and I'm sure a lot of you guys are the same way. I'll watch them on replay. I'll tape them and watch them. That's what I've been doing. A lot of these Friday night cards that are not really, you know, great cards. Guys like, for instance, like a guy like John Salter, like he's not a bad fighter. Do I want to stay around on Friday night to watch him fight at 10 o'clock at night on Friday night? No, I don't. I'll tape it and watch it later. I'll try to stay off social media to avoid spoilers, but I don't watch them live. I don't go my way to watch them live a lot of the time, except for these big cards like Usasi Lima. Obviously, I'm going to watch that live. That's a crazy fight. Consider Rear Dojo. Bellator doesn't pay them well. White fighters can do better with the name Bellator. It's the freedom of sponsorships. They can sign on like UFC's Reebok deal. Yeah, I mean, the sponsorship thing, that's good. That's a big thing for Bellator and definitely something that they can tell fighters, hey, you know, you can use your own sponsors. But they don't. They actually do pay well compared to other MMA organizations. Like maybe not the UFC, but most of them they do. Most MMA organizations don't pay very well. That's the truth. PFL pays pretty well, but that's only if you win the tournament. Katsuya Murudoji, star weights of a stack top 10, while flyweights as Valentina and all the girls she gets beat who are top 10 worthy. Valentina is my favorite fighter, but girl got a bit jealous. Yeah, 100% agree. And, you know, look at some of the opponents she's beaten. Like, honestly, I think Zhang's wins over Andrade and Joanna are way better than beating, like, 2K again and I. That's just my opinion, though. And she says, Wang, Zhang versus JJ is the best female fighter ever. Also, the second best MMA fight I've ever seen. Might be first, but I have to watch. Yeah, it's up there for sure. It's definitely like top five. Like I talked about yesterday, it's up there for sure. I still think Hendo Shogun and Jones versus Gus, those are like, for me, those are like the best. Those are like the pinnacle. But Zhang Yuan is right there. And it's funny because like there's a lot of really good three-round fights like Diego Sanchez and Clay Guida, great fight. Diego Sanchez, Cody Morales, all these Diego Sanchez fights. But yeah, no, he's had some great fights and you know those are great too. But three rounds to five rounds, you have to go with the five-round fight, right? Montgomery Whitmore Friday Bellator sounds good to me. Yeah, I'm with that. Again, you know, I think that Bellator puts on a pretty good product for the most part. I just think when they go head to head with the UFC, it's stupid. I just think it's something that it just for as a fan, you don't want to have to pick and choose between watching UFC and watching Bellator. You want to be able to watch both. Why couldn't they have did Ryan Bader versus Nemkov and Lima Buzmasosti Friday night on DAZN? And then UFC on Saturday. Because you know fans are going to watch UFC Cejudo Aldo. That's just my opinion. Anyways, I'm going to get out of here for now. I'll be back in half an hour breaking down UFC Brasilia with Cole Sheldon. So definitely tune in half an hour from now. Okay? You guys can check me out on Twitter in the meantime at MMAdamMartin. And I'm available at MAOddsBreaker.com, BJPenn.com, and MMARanks.net. Can't wait to talk about this UFC Brasilia card very soon from now, guys. Have a great rest of... What? Not the morning, just 30 minutes. I'll be back very soon. And I got one last question here from Katsuya Murudoji. You can make a Rocky-style Weili Zhang movie out of that fight and the lead-up to her escaping from the coronavirus. And he says that she had a lot of issues in the camp. Yeah, it's 100% true. And yeah, you're right. All right, I'll be back in half an hour, guys. Definitely tune in. Bye.